This week we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 13, where we left off last week, and we're sort of stumbled into a series called Life on Mission, you know, and that's really what Acts largely is about. It's really the continuing ministry of Jesus here on earth. You know, the gospel is about his life, his physical life here on earth, and now Acts really about his continuing ministry by his Spirit through us. And so it's fun to see how we can be a part of that and to see how he's moving. And so, you know, on Easter, we talked about the resurrection, of course, right, and what that means to us. And we looked, you know, beyond, you know, a few days beyond the resurrection and back to the restoration of Peter and how God has done that work in our lives as well. He's restored us. He meets us where we're at. Sometimes brings us face to face with our own shortcomings or failures, not to cause us to feel guilty, but to help us to look to him, to turn to him, and to be restored, to be healed. Because really, you know, it's as we get real with God, right, that he can do his best work in our lives and bring healing to us and restoration. And now we see here, and it's kind of cool because, you know, of course, we're over in John on Resurrection Sunday. And now back in Acts 13, you know, a couple weeks afterwards, just almost picking up where we left off, you know, and here in this series called Life on Mission, last week a message titled Restored for a Reason. We saw not only for Peter, but really all of us, that God has restored us to himself for a reason. And today we pick up in a message titled Life on Mission, Loved and Showing Love, because that's really a lot about what we get to do. What we have the privilege, right, is that we're loved by God. The Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. God is the initiator. God started it all. He's working through us. It's all about him. It's for his glory, right? And so we have the privilege of being a part of showing his love, revealing his love to those around us. Not, you know, trying to earn some sort of favor with the Lord, because you already have favor as a believer. He already loves you. He's for you. He's passionately crazy about you. And so he's on your side. And now we have the privilege of living that out. And so last week we talked and really ended up, we took about the whole study on being gifted, the gifts that we have. And we said that in this life on mission that we have, this life of being restored to the Lord, right, and now having the opportunity to live it out, that God has given us gifts, right? He's given us gifts by the Holy Spirit for certain works. In Ephesians chapter 2, we read that God has given us he's laid out these good works that we should walk in them, right? So God has laid it out before us. He's prepared us. He's prepared the circumstances, and we get to walk in those. We have a choice, right, if we want to or not, but we have the privilege of getting to walk in those good works. And so it was important to realize that these gifts are from the Lord. And so how do we know what those are? And we spent the better part of the study talking about how we can discover our spiritual gifts. You know, and for in many cases, it is, you know, we all have a number of gifts. Usually there's a primary gift or two or three maybe, and then other ways, you know, God could work through us as well. But I'm going to just hit the four main points. I'd encourage you to go back if you weren't here and listen to that to kind of flesh this out. But some keys to discovering your gifts is, one, to ask God, right? Ask God what your gifts are, how you're gifted. Number two is to consider what you're passionate about. What do you enjoy? What is it that you feel like, man, this is the way that I'm gifted? What do you want to do? What is it that you're passionate about? Number three, what seems to come naturally to you? What is it that you're good at? You know, and perhaps that's something that God is doing in you. And number four then, and equally as important as the first three, is to begin to practice what you feel you're gifted in. Begin to take steps of faith, you know, and to share those spiritual gifts that God has given you with others. You know, if it's teaching, then teach. If it's hospitality, then be hospitable, reach out. You know, if it's a word of exhortation or whatever it is that God would do. But, you know, we don't, you know, we'll discover that. Sometimes it might be through, you know, maybe it's helping other people, you know. And sometimes you might discover as we step out, well, no, maybe that's not my gift after all. Other times you'll say, wow, that went really well. And oh, hey, that maybe that is, you know, and we keep on trying. And don't be discouraged. I remember listening to one pastor talk about afterglows, what we call afterglows. Some people call them Holy Spirit meetings or whatever. And just the idea, kind of being open to the move of God's Spirit and sort of a worshipful environment. And he said, don't be afraid, you know, to just allow God to move. And don't be afraid to speak out, you know, if maybe you feel like God's given you a word of knowledge or a tongue or something, to speak out. And you know what, if we make a mistake, or maybe it was, you know, out of order or whatever, you know, we don't have to beat ourselves up over it. We learn, right? We make adjustments and go forward. And so I think that's wise counsel when it comes to our own gifts, is like, step out and, you know, God will lead. It's like my pastor said one time, you can't steer a parked car. You know what I mean? We got to get moving before the steering wheel becomes of any value to us, right? And so, you know, step out and give it a shot, you know. And always, always, always remember the motivation for this, right, is love. The motivation is love, right? Because we love God, because he first loved us, his love into us, and love for others, to want to see people encouraged in the Lord, to see God glorified, the name of Christ lifted up. I was reading this article today, or this week rather, some people were discussing, you know, is God some egomaniac because he wants all the glory? And, you know, I don't like to get involved in, you know, hours of typing about these things, but it's like, it's not that God needs this attention. It's that it's best for us to give it to him, right? Because otherwise, the other option is to bring glory to ourselves or to some other person. Right, it's best if all the glory is God's. First of all, he deserves it. He's God. And second of all, it gets our eyes off of ourselves and onto him. So it's not that he needs it, right? It's that he deserves it. And because he's God, and it's best for us. And so our motivation in life and in living out life is for God's glory, because we love him because he first loved us. So now that we're exploring our gifts, we're going to continue on in Acts 13. And now that we're considering those gifts, we're going to talk about some biblical ways that God could perhaps use us, that God would want to use us to exercise them. You know, because as we step out, sometimes it's easy to think, you know, gosh, I have to do this and I have to do that. And you know, it's tiring. And you know, should I be, you know, all this for the Lord? Well, it's not about duties that we have so much, right? I mean, there are responsibilities in life, but it's about wanting to see the best for the glory of God and wanting what is best for other people, right? Certainly the greatest thing that we can be a part of is seeing people turn to God in whatever way that God uses you for that or me for that. And our gifts being different, he hasn't called every one of us to get up and preach at a Harvest Crusade. I remember I got saved in May 14th, 1993, and I went to a Harvest Crusade that summer. Harvest Crusade, some of you are familiar with that, Greg Laurie, he preaches and brings in great bands, and it's a great night, testimonies, and a lot of people come to the Lord. And so I went, you know, it was there in Anaheim, and it must have been probably July or August-ish around there. So I've been saved 2-3 months. And I remember sitting, you know, up in the nosebleed section, packed out. It was awesome, you know, packed out with people there seeking the Lord. And I remember thinking, gosh, he's preaching 3 nights in a row. I wonder if he needs help. He's probably tired, you know what I mean? Here I am, I've been saved like 2-3 months. I'm going to go preach to, you know, a Harvest Crusade or whatever. But the reality is God hasn't called all of us to that, right? You know, God hasn't called all of us to preach to thousands, but he has called all of us to be a part of serving him on this earth. And it's a privilege. And, you know, whether it's, you know, cleaning the toilets, or whether it's, you know, handing out bulletins, or loving on the kids, or, you know, going out into the highways and byways and, you know, feeding folks or whatever, you know, multitude of ways, helping your neighbor, you know, whatever it is, God has equipped us and gifted us to do that. And as we do that, we find this abundant life that Christ has for us, right? So it's not about earning God's favor at all. I mean, he's blessed by it, no doubt, right? He's more blessed if I go serve my neighbor than if I go serve myself, you know what I mean? And we'll talk about it. It's important that we are fed and that we are rested and that we are built up in the Lord and that we're wise about that, right? We can't give out what we don't have, right? We need to be receiving and being loved on so we can go love on others. But it's not about earning his favor as much as just obeying him and stepping out and blessing others, because as we do that, then we find life, right? Jesus said, whoever desires to save his life, he'll lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will find it. He's not talking about killing ourselves or working ourselves to the bone so that we effectively kill ourselves, right? I mean, we're to work hard, no doubt about it. But he's talking about as we lay down our own rights, our own desires, our own selfish interests in favor of others, as he says, to prefer one another, right? That's where we discover life. That's where we discover this abundant life that Christ has for us. And so, and by the way, if anybody is interested, you know, I'm no expert at all this stuff, but if you're interested in just bouncing off, you know, hey, how has God gifted me? You know, I think maybe it's in these areas or whatever. I'd love to get together with you and chat about that, or couples or whatever, and help you discover that for yourself. Not that I have the answers, but maybe just we can pray through it and think through it. You know, if you're looking for ways to get involved, you know, I'm a big advocate for being involved in our communities, you know, in various ways to just live out the gospel among the people that God has called us to live amongst here in Central Iowa or wherever our community is. And then, of course, also in the ministry here, you know, how might God use us here? And so I just wanted to put that out there. If you know, there's lots of other people you could chat with too, you know, brothers and sisters in the Lord that you trust. But that's something I'd be more than happy to meet with anybody about. Because, you know, that's where we find fullness of life, is in living out the gospel and living out God's will in our lives. So the second thing here then, and we'll read through this passage again, is once we understand that we're called and gifted by the Holy Spirit for certain works, is to choose to use those things to show people Jesus. Let's see what Paul did here. Pick it up in verse 13. Now, when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, "Men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on." So inviting them to speak. Then Paul stood up, and motioning with his hands, he said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with an uplifted arm, he brought them out of it. Now for a time of about 40 years, he put up with their ways in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he distributed their land to them by allotment. After that, he gave them judges in about 450 years, until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they asked for a king, so God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, 'I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will.'" Man, if that's not something that we should desire God to say of us, you know, oh man, that would be, if that could be, you know, right after, "Well done, good and faithful servant," when we stand before the Lord, man, that's a good word right there. So verse 23, "From this man's seed," that's David's, "according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus. After John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I am not he, but behold, there comes one after me, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and the rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus. And as it is also written in the second psalm, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generations by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. In other words, his body decayed. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. That's Jesus, right? Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken to the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. So we'll stop there for a few moments. But what we see here is Paul doing exactly what we're talking about. Paul, right, he's a gifted teacher, I would suggest. Paul is showing, he's using his gift to show people Jesus, right? He gives them a pretty neat history lesson, right, of their own. These are the Jewish leaders. He's given them a kind of a real brief summary of the history of their nation and showing how the Old Testament scriptures point to Jesus, how it always has pointed to Jesus, right, to the Messiah, the Savior. And so he shows them Jesus. Paul has an opportunity to share, which was kind of a common practice for, you know, the traveling rabbis at the time. And so he shows them Jesus. And so us, in our areas of gifting, have an opportunity to show people Jesus as well. Jump with me over to John chapter 15. You know, I mentioned a minute ago sort of our motivation for this, you know, where this comes from. It's not for our own glory or about ourselves. In John chapter 15, and I must have written down the wrong verse, but in any event, so Jesus talks about how the Father has shown his love to Jesus, right? And then Jesus has now shown his love to us. And so we see sort of this lineage, if you will. God, Jesus says, as you have loved me, I have loved them, right? And I wrote down the wrong reference. There's no verse 59 in John 15, but what's that?
Nine.
Verse 9. Okay. Thank you. Verse 9, not 59. I'm going, jeez. You hate that when you're up front all of a sudden. Whoops, I wrote the wrong verse. Thank you for catching that. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So as the Father loved him, he's loved us. That's what he's talking about, his people, right? And so he says to remain. Abide means to remain or, you know, hang out in. That's my translation, his love, right? And so now jump with me over to, so keep that in mind, as the Father has loved him, right, he's loved us. Now jump back a couple pages. Hopefully I wrote down the right one here. Verse 34 of John 13. Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Check this out. As I have loved you, that you should love one another. So we see as the Father loved him, he's loved us. And now as he's loved us, we're to love one another, right? You sort of see how it all flows from God, right? And it flows to us and now out to one another. So, you know, hence sort of our title today, Loved and Showing Love. We're first loved by God. He's the initiator. All the glory is his. All the effort is his, right? All the accomplishment is his. He loved us first, and he's shown that to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we have the blessing and the privilege of showing that to one another. Over in John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, won't turn there for time's sake, but again, the same idea. We love him because he first loved us. He's the initiator, right? So this love chain, if you will, right? God's love through Christ to us and the love of Christ through us to one another. So we have the privilege of being a part of that. But it is so important, we can jump back to Acts now. It is so important that we are in a place where we're being reminded of God's love, right? It's important that we're receiving that and being fed that, right? That's why, you know, the author of Hebrews tells us not to neglect being a part of a fellowship, going to church and being out with each other, because we get built up, we get encouraged in that, you know, and then we get to go out and share that with others. I don't know about you, but you go out into the world sometimes, it's easy to sort of, you know, kind of lose your way and feel beat up a little bit, and not everybody believes in the Lord, and they want to tear you down or rip you away, if you know, in some cases. And so we need to be around one another. We need to be built up. And so it's important. I'm thankful for you here that do that for me. And hopefully we do it for one another, that we mutually edify and build up each other in the Lord Jesus. And so it's important to do that. And that's kind of just important to have, you know, solidified in our practice, you know, and in our minds, and as something we do to be encouraged. And last week I mentioned kind of a vision statement that I had seen, and a number of churches that really use it, a number of ministries, not just churches, and the Navigators actually had sort of put a little spin on it that I thought was cool, and it is to know Christ deeply and to make him known and to help others do the same. So to know him and make him known, you know, you'll see that often, really kind of the idea, I think, coming from Philippians chapter 3, starting in about verse 10, you know, to know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and the opportunity to kind of carry that to others. But I think that solidifies kind of what we have the blessing of doing in our life, sort of it's nice to have a concise statement sometimes to measure our activity against, to say, is this taking me in the right direction, or is it a rabbit trail? I don't know about you, but I'm easy, you know, rabbit trails. Oh yeah, I'm going to follow the Lord, and then here's something flashy, ooh, you know, over here, oh, what's that? You know, like a dog, you know, after food or whatever. It's like you just get all over the place, you know. So it's kind of good to know him, right, to make him known, and then to help others do the same. So to know Christ, that's our number one goal, right, to be in him, to be found in him, to be enjoying him, to know Christ, to make him known, so to help others know him, right? And then to help others do the same. Help others do what? The same. To know him and to make him known, right? So basically the idea of disciple making, the idea of sort of passing on what we now are a part of. And, you know, Paul talks about this in his letter to Timothy. You know, find faithful men that you know, as you have seen in me, find faithful men that you can pass these things on to. And all of us, right, not just the Pauls and the Timothys, all of us have the opportunity to do that, to know Christ first and foremost, to help in the ways that we're gifted. And I'm not talking about every single one of us start a Bible study, although that would be awesome, you know, at work. You know, we've had work Bible studies over the years and stuff, but maybe it's, you know, helping, you know, meals like what we were talking about earlier today. You know, maybe that's part of how God would use you to help Christ be known, to share the love of Christ. You know, serving in some capacity and in a community interest, a way that you can get out and share the love of the Lord, or here at church, or, you know, in our homes, of course, first and foremost. But to help people walk in the Lord is certainly one of the greatest things that we can do. The greatest ways that we can make an impact on this world is to impact people for Christ. Really, everything else is temporary. You know, I remember one night I was riding and with the PD, and this call came in of attempted suicide, or suicide is what it was called. And so the officer was just on the spot. In fact, before we were even dispatched, he was flipping a U-turn, lights and sirens, heading there because he heard the medical call come in first. And you know, and so I'm like, oh wow, you know, he's all, this might be a good call to have the chaplain there. And I'm like, well, maybe, you know. So we're racing there, and we get there and we run in. Pit bull comes charging, first of all, and we run to the basement, and we get down the stairs, and there's the guy, you know, hanging, chain around his neck, feet off the floor, motionless. And we run into the basement, and I just sort of stop. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, time for the medical examiner, you know. And Fortunately, the officer was more on the ball than I was. He went over and he checked and he found a pulse. Guy was still alive. So he raises him up to get the pressure off his neck. And I run over and, you know, fumbling with this chain. And we finally get it disconnected and bring him down and, you know, begin medical care until the professionals got there. Well, the officer's a professional, but I'm going, what do I do? You know, and so we're doing what we're supposed to do. And the guy ends up living, you know. And the paramedics got him out quick, and his life was saved. And later on, the city had this kind of award ceremony for that. And there I learned that, you know, he had been intoxicated, severely intoxicated. You know, girlfriend broke up with him or something. But the good news is he lived. He got promoted at work, and he was living out of state now. You know, and it's like, that's cool. You know what I mean? Here's someone sort of at the despair. As neat as that is, that's temporary still, right? It lasts for this life, and I'm glad for that, right? It's better than what I thought when I went down the stairs and saw him hanging there all, you know, looking dead and everything. But that's temporary. As awesome as that and cool as that is, it's temporary. The things we do for the Lord, that's eternal, right? The impact that we can make for the Lord, things of the Lord. And maybe God will use someone out of state where he's at to bring him to Christ. I have no idea where he's at with the Lord and have no way to know. But maybe God will do that. But the greatest things that we can be a part of is to be a part of eternal changes, impacting others for the Lord. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but every single life has so much potential. Right? I hope you realize that about yourself, first of all. You know, we can think, oh, I'm 47 years old. What am I going to do? You know, so much potential. Every single life. You know, I think of people like, you know, my heroes, you know, like Billy Graham, right? And Chuck Smith and Chuck Swindoll and, you know, D.L. Moody and Dawson Trotman. Some of these folks, you know, big, kind of to us, big names, you know, to God, they're just, you know, Chuck or whoever, right? They're just people, right? God's not a respecter of persons, But, you know, I think of, man, these are lives that have made a difference for the kingdom of God. Do you realize that every single life has that kind of potential? You know, we all start off, you know, right, naked and small. I mean, we all start off the same, right? And regardless of where we're at, you know, maybe we've made mistakes in our past. God can redeem that. The Bible says God is able to restore what the locusts have eaten away. Every life has so much potential. Your life, and guess what? Those lives around you. So we have the privilege of showing people Jesus and helping to build people up to help them to know Christ and to make him known. And so every single life, regardless of where they're at, age, you know, maybe we're well beyond the small and naked phase, you know, babies, but we're you know, further along. Every life has the opportunity to be planted in Christ and to grow in Christ, to be watered by the Holy Spirit. And guess how the Holy Spirit most often works is through people like you, people like me, right? Flawed, imperfect, you know what I mean? But loved by God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, as we align ourselves with his will, you know, constantly say, Lord, what in my life is you know, not honoring to you? What do I need to change? How can I, you know, go forward for your glory? And as we follow him, God uses all of us radically, wonderfully, to be a part of his kingdom. Every life has potential, and he uses us. We, right, have the opportunity to spend time with people, helping them to discover Christ, to grow in Christ. Life on life on life. You know, using the gifts that God, Paul here is just using his gift, right? His gift happens to be, well, teaching and writing part of the Bible. But, you know, he's using it, right? He could have said, I'm going to go have a falafel, you know, but he didn't. He said, I'm going to go teach. And that's what he did. And so maybe he had a falafel later. I don't know. But, you know, we have the opportunity to say, Lord, use me. And how do you want to do that? And to take time to pour into others. Perhaps it's as simple as inviting someone to church. Yeah, that's not overly difficult. Maybe it's, and that's not any small thing either. I don't minimize that at all. That's a huge step sometimes, right? Because we are the church out in the community. Maybe it's inviting someone to church. Maybe in your case, it's, you know, sitting down and praying with somebody. Maybe there's somebody in your life that God has given you such a relationship with, you know, that you could minister to in that way. Maybe it's, showing God's love in some simple way to someone, praying with them, helping someone. But let me ask you, are you willing to undertake this endeavor together? I want to. I encourage all of us to say, let's do this for God's glory, right? Paul is using his gifts. Let's work together, you know. You know, we could sharpen each other. The Bible talks about, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so one sharpens another, right? And so God can sharpen us, use each other to sharpen us and to step out for his glory, right? And see how he might do that. You know, I remember as I think back to, we lived in one-hour house in Fullerton for 10, 11 years. And I think during that time, I think 12 of our neighbors came to Christ, you know, and God just, you know, it just relationship. I wouldn't even call it relationship evangelism. It's just kind of just living, doing life. You know what I mean? Most of it's Becky, so I can't really take any credit. You know, she's there during the day with the kids and stuff and just doing it, you know. But I remember, you know, late night knocks on the doors and marriage challenges I remember, you know, I don't want to say, you know, I remember getting, you know, people expressing their dissatisfaction with us over certain things, you know, various times of the day or night or whatever, because, you know, as you're involved in people's lives, like we talked about before, it gets messy sometimes. But, you know, all that, just let it, you know, just brush off, no big deal. You know, I mean, as God opens doors, it's a blessing now on Facebook to see some of these same folks that were neighbors involved serving the Lord and in church. You know, one of them didn't like something I posted and corrected me. I was like, wait a minute, I remember taking you down to praying with you to receive Christ. What are you, you know, like, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? We need people to correct us, you know. She was wrong, but we won't get into that. But but we need people who are willing, right? I love her to death. It's awesome she did that. I won't even tell you what it is. That's all. I'll take the rest of the time. But, it's fun. You know, loading up our van, going to the Harvest Crusade, actually borrowing my dad's van at the time. You know, just being involved. You know, how would God want to use you? It could be very simple, but you know, opportunities to do that. And, you know, I remember years ago, we had a Bible study at work. And, you know, again, I mentioned that, you know, a few people coming to the Lord and stuff. And just, you know, maybe God, maybe at your workplace, it's not doable. You know, maybe it is, you know, maybe in your neighborhood or you know, again, just kind of simple ways to love. But what are, here's what I want to encourage us. Sort of, we've been talking about being intentional. I want to encourage you to think about five people who you believe don't know the Lord, all right? Maybe you have 10 in your mind right away, I don't know. But five people that are somewhat close to you, you know, that don't know the Lord. And let me encourage you to commit to pray for them every day for their salvation, okay? So commit to pray, write them down. In fact, I was looking through some youth things we have, and we have these things called friendship evangelism cards, and they're kind of youthed out now, so we might tweak them and bring them in if you want to utilize them. But on one side, you list five names. And then the other side is just like, I think it's four or five or six practical steps to kind of get someone thinking spiritually and involved in walking with the Lord. And but think about those five people that you will commit to pray for their salvation every day. Maybe they're folks at work, home, school, your family, neighbors, sports teams or groups. And then go beyond that with at least two of them. Ideally all five of them over the course of a year, but go beyond that and be intentional about reaching out to them. You know, I was sort of, not rebuked, but pleasantly, encouraged. Last week we got to hang out with Josh a little bit with some of his Navigator buddies. And, he's meeting with eight different people right now to read the Bible. Some of them don't know the Lord, you know? And I was like, he says he told me. I'm like, I don't remember you telling me that. That's pretty darn cool. You know what I mean? That's being intentional to reach out to see people come to Christ. In his case, other college students. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm thinking, well, am I meeting with 8 people? You know? And so, and not that it needs to be 8, not that it needs to be 5, whatever your number is, but pray over some folks that you're going to pray for their salvation every single day or regularly, you know? And then let's together be intentional about those, who they will. Maybe it's, you know, getting together for lunch, you know, with some frequency to encourage them in the Lord, break out the Bible. Maybe it's getting together occasionally for prayer, you know. Build a bridge with them. You know, if they're non-believers, you know, maybe it's sports can be a bridge. Maybe it is, you know, bringing them to the range, shooting, you know, can be a bridge. As long as they don't get too mad. I'm just kidding. Whatever the way is, you know, build that bridge. Share your testimony. Share what Christ has done in your life. Maybe share what he's doing in your life. You know, you don't have to have a 3-point sermon and invite him to pray the sinner's prayer every time you get together. You know what I mean? Just share life with them and share about the Lord and about church and about Jesus and people coming to faith and how God has worked in your life. I remember Dawson Trotman. Oh, I don't remember him. I remember reading about him. He would ask the people at his school 2 questions every day. And in fact, some of the guys, the stories go, would avoid him early in the morning because he'd always say, number one, what did God speak to you in your quiet time this morning? Well, if you have my quiet time, it's like, think quick, you know, don't want to lie. He's a teacher, you know. So what did God speak to you in your quiet time? And then he'd say, who are the 2 people you're discipling? 2 questions he'd ask everybody, you know. And so if they didn't have one of those, they'd avoid them, whatever. So I want to encourage us to just think about that. We're not going to, you know, take notes or whatever. But I mean, what is God doing in your life and how are you sharing that with others? You know, and just think through some ways to be intentional, not to make it difficult or, you know, make it a part of what you already do. You know what I mean? It could be lunch at work. It could be, you know, something in your community. But you know, we see Paul encouraging Timothy to be purposeful to look for people who he can pour himself into, who he can help disciple in the Lord, and we can too. You know, we don't have to be, you know, Timothy was a pastor and Paul was an apostle and a pastor, you know. But we don't, the idea is just as believers, these are good character traits for us. In Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus, right, calling disciples to follow him to become fishers of men, right? That's what he's doing in our lives, calling us to follow him to become fishers of men in whatever capacity, right? And not, if you know, sharing, you know, a message is like, you know, a lot of people hate talking in front of people. Well, then that's, you know, maybe God hasn't called you to preach. Don't burden yourself with, I've got to be a preacher. But, you know, do you like having lunch? I like having lunch. Have lunch with someone. You know what I mean? Have coffee, you know, whatever, however God wants. But, and then in Luke chapter 10, we read about, let's jump over there real quick. So we're not far from there. Luke in chapter 10. The first few verses, he says, Luke records, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and he sent them out 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. So he's sending his apostles out, right, and Jesus is about to go to these places himself, but he's sending them out for ministry. And he said to them, the harvest truly is great. I would suggest today, there's a lot of people who need the Lord. Amen to that. A lot of people who need the Lord. The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. He says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lamb among wolves. Sometimes it's going to feel that way, right? Sometimes it's going to feel like we're, you know, just, you know, among the wolves. But the point is here is also he didn't send them out alone. He sent them out in twos. It's good to have people in your life, you know, the body of Christ here. To have other brothers and sisters that are encouraging you. And so step out and, you know, see how God would use you. But with the purpose to show people Jesus, right? Remember, that's what Paul's doing here. He's taking them through an Old Testament Bible study, right? Kind of rebuking them, frankly, to bring them to Christ. He's showing them Jesus using his gift. So whatever your gift is, and again, I'm happy, like I said, to meet, try to help you pray through that and sort that out. But whatever your gift is, it's a fun way to live, to see ourselves as on mission for the Lord, right? And to, because really, that's what he said, go make disciples of the nations, right? And so, but to kind of raise the bar a little bit, right? I'm not talking about any heavy trip, right? I'm not talking about, you know, we're going to put your name up on the board if you don't do this or anything like that, right? I'm just encouraging because why? Jesus said, as we do this, right, we find our life. As we lose our life for the sake of the gospel, we find our life. So that's the purpose. And I'm excited to see how God uses some of you as you say, hey, I'm going to pray for these folks. I'm going to be intentional about this and see, you know. And then last but not least, shake off the doubts and enjoy the Lord Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. All right, let's wrap it up here in Acts chapter 13. We'll pick it up in verse 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath or the next week. In other words, come back and preach some more. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And so on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Sometimes that's going to happen. People aren't going to like it for whatever reason. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. So this is kind of a big turning point here. Paul's going to turn to the Gentiles. He says, for the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. Check this out. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Right? So there was opposition, and there might be opposition in your life, you know, to being intentional, but shake off the doubts and enjoy the Lord. I love that last verse there. And the so they have all this opposition. You know, prominent leaders in this city, men and women, are coming against them. What do? They were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So that's good for us as well. And I just shake it off, man. The naysayers, at some point you just say, man, I can't worry about all the naysayers, right? I just got to enjoy the Lord. So that's our last point here. Shake off the doubts. Enjoy the Lord Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, right? And I would suggest doing what we're doing is a great way to start being together. Do you realize that the Bible teaches that in Christ we're family, right? We have family in Christ. Different backgrounds, different areas, different things we've been involved in or whatever, but we're family in Christ. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus says this teaches along these lines. We're family, and here, each of you are an important part of that. We have the privilege of being in that place where we can come together and be built up and be encouraged in the Lord to go out and to fulfill his call upon our life. So I want to encourage us. You know, we talked a few weeks ago about that Paul's prayer from Colossians, right? As he prays for the church there, he says, I pray that you would know God's will, and that you would walk worthy of him. That's a good prayer to pray for each other, right? That we would be fruitful and that we would be strengthened in the Lord. That's a good prayer to pray for us. And that we would be, as he wraps up there, that we would be thankful, right? That we would be joyful and that we'd be patient. I don't know about you, but I could use prayer for all those things, right? But those are good things to be intentional about praying for one another, praying for yourselves, praying for your families, and then choose to live intentionally with the people around us for the Lord. Intentionally reach out. Intentionally pray for folks, right? Intentionally invite people out to fellowship. You know, live a kingdom-minded, right? Focus a kingdom-minded life and see how blessed you end up becoming. Because it's the words of Jesus, right? Not me. He said, he who seeks to save his life. In other words, the idea there is you're trying to find your life through self-satisfaction. You know, me, collecting myself. He says, you're going to lose it. You're never going to find it. You're not going to find true life, joy, peace, right? But if you lose your life for the sake of the gospel and for others, you'll find it. That's where we find life. That's what we're getting at here today. So let's stand together. We'll close in prayer. Don't forget to sign up for any of the retreats or teas or various activities coming up that you can, and hope to see you out at some of the things throughout the week. Let's pray, and then we'll close in a song together. Father, I thank you so much for today, Lord, and for this message from your word, God. Just so thankful for your word and the legacy that we have here at Calvary Chapel of just reading verse by verse, God. There's so much good truth and life-changing principles that we learn because of your word and through your word, and that we get to live out by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning that you would fill each of us afresh with your Spirit, God, that you would show us ways that we could reach out into our areas of influence and lives around us to intentionally reach people for your glory, God. I pray that you would show us those 4, 5, 6 folks that we should pray for every day. Lord, those couple that we should reach out to, or maybe all that we should reach out to, Lord, intentionally to invite them out to church or to study the word with them or to pray for them or to meet some physical need, to show your love, to show Jesus by your Spirit to these precious folks, Lord. So thank you so much, Father. I pray for anyone here this morning who, you know, feels lost or distracted, that you'd bring clarity of thinking and thought and focus on your kingdom for your glory, God. Because you truly, God, are worthy of our very lives and all of our praise. We give to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.